Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Talking about what is happening in Israel in terms of the recovery of the murdered hostages. Joining us is Dr. Mordechai Kedar. He's a former intelligence officer in the Israeli Defense Forces. He's a leading analyst of the Israel-Hamas conflict. With recent agreements for Hamas and the Red Cross to collaborate in locating and releasing hostages, we wanted to understand what all the roles are. It's fascinating that all of a sudden the Red Cross is appearing and becoming relevant. Dr. Kedar, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Can you just explain to us the role of the Red Cross in this scenario?
Well, the Red Cross is not the only player in this scenario. Mm-hmm. Today, there are like 8 countries involved in Gaza. Turkey, Jordan, Israel in its part, Hamas, of course, the United States of America, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, United Arab Emirates, and I'm not sure that this is the end of the list. Mm-hmm. And when the whole world is, you know, there is a proverb which says that too many cooks actually bring about the burning of the cake. And this is exactly what happens and what will happen. It is so hard to coordinate. There is in Kiryat Gat, an Israeli town in the south,
yes,
not far from Gaza, there is some kind of headquarters for which is meant to coordinate all these countries and the representatives, what they do, what they don't do. And don't forget it, still there is an armed force in Gaza, means Hamas, you know, people might get hurt from all these collection of countries and organizations. By the way, I forgot Turkey.
Uh-huh. Very important. Yes, which is interesting in of itself, given their support for Hamas.
Look, this is the first time which Turkish force comes to this country after the First World War, when Turkey was kicked out from this region. And for them, some kind of restoration of the Ottoman Empire, no doubt. This is how they view it. And this is why they're so keen to take part in it.
So in terms of the Red Cross themselves, I mean, they have been quite horrific in many ways, in all ways, with regard to the hostages. Until now, they were accused of really running an Uber service. All they did was collect the hostages that were released by Hamas and took them to handed them over to the IDF. Why now? Is this an attempt at regaining some credibility, or do they actually have something to offer?
Look, it's in general the United Nations. Don't forget that Israel actually kicked out the UNRWA, UNWRA, Work and Relief Agency, which was run by Hamas. During the last years. And some employees of UNRWA took part in the October 7, 2023 assault on Israel. Means this is something which is more important than the Red Cross, because if now UNRWA, which was thrown out from the door, comes back from the window to take part in the whatever goes on in Gaza, this is something which Israel cannot tolerate. However, let me assure you, Gaza will not be rebuilt like 20 years from today. There is no chance. First of all, to wipe out all the ruins, it will take years. There isn't enough tractors in the whole world to come and to clean the place. This is one thing. Planning will take time. And infrastructure, to restore the infrastructure, the water supply, the sewage system, the electricity system, gas, whatever. This will take years before you start building the first building, because first you put down the infrastructure. Only then you start building the buildings. You cannot do it otherwise. And it will take years and years, and gazillions of money will be needed in order to do the job. And I'm not sure that the next, let's say, American administration will be so keen about this issue, let alone other countries, let alone the money which Ukraine will need after the war, hopefully when this war ends. So there are so many needs all over the world. Syria needs restoration. Iraq needs. So Yemen. So why Dabka Gaza should get all the money of the world to in order to be restored? This is why when I look at the global arena of money and efforts of restoration, of rebuilding, I'm at all not sure that in 20 years from today, Gaza will be as it was before the war.
Which is it's incredible. I mean, listen, in many ways you don't want it to be, because, and that's a real concern as well, is how can there be some assurance that it isn't rebuilt in a similar way, which means with more tunnels and more sophisticated weapons bunkers in order to continue the Hamas legacy of an attempt to destroy Israel.
Well, we don't have the legacy yet. Hamas is alive and kicking, if not also alive and killing. And this is the problem. Who with the right mind will come to work in construction in a place which is run by ISIS-like people, like Hamas, as we saw how they execute their own people in the street, kneeling on their knees. So this is what we are facing. This what, and unfortunately, there are some states, and I'm afraid in South Africa as well, take side with this ISIS-like organization, which harms the Palestinians before it harms the Israelis.
Initially, and certainly one of the requirements, is the disarming of Hamas. That seems to have become a little bit of a non-discussion at the moment.
Nobody wants to discuss something which he himself cannot do and will not do anything in order to promote. Because nobody is really wants to mess with these people, because they can get killed. By the way, the same thing is with Hezbollah. Hezbollah, what happened with Hezbollah in Lebanon, Israel destroyed most of its strategic weapons, means the drones and the missiles, while the tactical weapons like AK-47, Kalashnikov rifles, RPG launchers, all these tactical arms remained in their hands. And they are actually threatening the Lebanese domestic arena tremendously. And this is why nobody allows himself or dares to mess with them. And the same thing is with Hamas. Let's say Israel destroyed all their abilities to produce projectiles or missiles. Yet they have the Kalashnikov, means the rifles they have, and they can use them against whoever they want. So who with the right mind will come to such a place to work in construction or in planning or I don't know what?
Absolutely. It's a very, very interesting point, and one certainly that I hadn't considered, because we think about the rebuilding, we think about the concerns of Hamas being in control about the infrastructure and the tunnels, but certainly the question about who's actually going to come and do it is a very interesting one. We do need to leave it there. Dr. Mordechai Kedar, thank you as always for chatting to us. Give me your thoughts on it.